Now hear the word of God, as it's written in the Old Testament book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, reading verses 9 to 12, which can be found on page 724 of the majority of the Pew Bibles. We hear perhaps the best known passage of Zechariah, the beginning of which is often quoted regularly in the New Testament, words spoken to a people in exile from the Lord, words that speak to us today. Zechariah chapter 9, reading from verse 9. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph. O people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Because of the covenant I made with you, sealed with blood, I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless dungeon. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. If you were going into the desert for a period of time, what's the most important thing that you could take with you? Water. Yes, well done. Who said that? High five. If you were going to the moon, what's the one thing you couldn't be without, even for a short visit? Oxygen. Yep, well done. Yes, high five. If the country was facing a fuel shortage, what's the best thing you could do for your car? Leave it in the garage. No, no. It's a good suggestion. I was looking for fill it up with petrol beforehand. Yeah, okay. If we know in advance there's going to be a shortage of something, we can prepare. We can stockpile that which we think will be in short supply. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, that's what Joseph advised Pharaoh to do before 7 years of famine and crop failure. And it made Egypt the most powerful nation in the world at that time. There is a saying that knowledge is power. It was the intelligence services that won the Second World War for the Allies, as much as the soldiers on the ground. Many operations were coordinated to ensure that the enemy's supply line was interrupted, forcing shortages of munitions and troops. And many battles have been won by commanders who recognized where shortages would occur, both in their own armies and in the army of the enemy. They would divert resources to counteract any adverse effects in their own army, and they would take advantage and exploit any shortages in the enemies. As we come towards the end of our look at the minor prophets in the Bible, the people of Israel are about to face a time of shortage. Excuse me. Our reading from the book of the prophet Zechariah is easy to find in the Old Testament. It is the penultimate book, the one before Malachi, the last of the minor prophets, and we shall study that in a fortnight's time. In the Bible, after the book of Malachi, if you turn the page, you'll find the gospel according to Matthew. It takes but a moment, but the gap represents a time span of approximately 400 600 years. 400 years between the Old and the New Testament. 400 years without a prophet. 400 years without a word from God. 400 years waiting till John the Baptist bursts on the scene. And God, our divine commander-in-chief, recognizes the direct shortage of guidance the Israelites will go through. And so what he does is he floods the prophet Zechariah with visions. He stocks piles in advance. The book of Zechariah is the most messianic, apocalyptic, and eschatological in the Old Testament. Big words. Big words. A forerunner in many ways for the book of Revelation at the end of the New Testament. It's messianic in that it contains promises of the Messiah, who we know, looking back from this side of the Bible, is Jesus Christ. And Zechariah focuses on the promises of Christ's coming glory as a means to comfort and give the Israelites the strength to endure while they await for his arrival. The book of Zechariah is apocalyptic, in that many of its visions concern the end of times, when the world ends and judgment day comes. It's also eschatological, in that its visions point to an afterlife. What happens at the end, after the judgment day, after that? And I'm not going to go any further into those big words. Okay. The book of Zechariah is filled with visions, prophecies, signs, celestial visitors, and the voice of God. And it's also practical, dealing with issues like repentance, divine care, salvation, and holy living. But it's not the easiest book to read or understand. And just like its counterpart in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, which has been studied and debated for centuries, so too was the book of Zechariah studied and debated by the Israelites in the period between the Old and the New Testament. The prophetic word of God was soon to be silent for more than 400 years. So God used Zechariah to bring a rich, abundant outburst of promise for the future so that it could sustain the faithful remnant of believers through those silent years ahead. And one of the prophecies much quoted from Zechariah in Christian circles, especially at Easter time, is, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He's righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. This picture of the shepherd king, who's at once victorious and humble, is the one that Jesus himself used to interpret the nature of his vocation as he made his entry into Jerusalem. It was a clear sign for all to see. Jesus riding in on a donkey was a clear sign for all to see. But it's one thing to see with our eyes. It's quite another to see with our hearts. The crowd who welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday saw with their eyes but not with their hearts. That's why they praised Jesus on Sunday and screamed for his crucifixion on Friday. How deep is your faith? Is it just on the outside, a superficial covering to conceal a shortage of faith within, or even a lurking darkness? Is your life lacking in something? Do you have meaning and purpose? Do you know who you are? Why you are here? Who created you? who loves you and whose you are. Zechariah says to the people of Israel in chapter 13, 2/3 of the people in the land will be cut off and die, says the Lord, but 1/3 will be left in the land. I will bring that group through the fire and make them pure. I will refine them like silver and purify them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, these are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. The words of the Lord apply as much to you and I today as it did to the Israelites 2,500 years ago. We are designed to know God. We are created to have a relationship with God in this life and the next. And if we reject God, if we turn away from his love, his mercy, his forgiveness and his grace, then our lives cannot be complete. If we refuse to accept God's Son, Jesus, as our Savior, then our lives will miss out on some incredible things. The most important, in my point of view, is his peace. A peace such as the world cannot give. A peace that holds us and sustains us through the worst this life has to offer. A peace that protects the soul in our greatest times of suffering and pain. The prophet Zechariah speaks a lot about the end times, the apocalypse, the day of judgment. And the one thing you do not want to be short of in those times is God's amazing grace. Grace that stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, the abundant joy of heaven acquired not on any meritorious action of our own, but only through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, who suffered the punishment our sins demand. So for your eternal sake, know God's Son, Jesus, as your Savior. And for your life here on earth, if there are shortages in your life, do something about it. Remember, knowledge is power. So read the Bible, the authoritative Word of God, the book of history that science and skeptics have failed to prove wrong for centuries, and you will find the answer: abundant life. If there is a shortage of joy and peace in your life, then seek the manufacturer. Don't waste your time on fortune tellers and horoscope writers. Go directly to the Creator. Ask, and the answers will be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door will be fulfilled, so that your life will be filled in this life and the next. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, sometimes it's so easy to think we can live without you. Our life carries on and we don't think we need you. In fact, we don't even think you exist at times. But Lord, when it comes to the crunch, when it comes to the matters of life and death, then, Lord, how often do we turn to you? Lord, give us wisdom to seek you earlier so that we would have a faith and a peace that passes all human understanding. That in those times of great trial, we would have something to build our foundation upon. Give us strength to ask, to seek and find you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.